First, I take it that Bob Knox will speak of George's longtime roles as administrator, counterweight, and close counselor to Bill Nirenberg and others at SIO, and perhaps also as ship scheduler. I too had some of those assignments, but Betty asked that I speak back to, in her words, the olden golden days. And I assume by that she meant the 15 years or so, commencing about 1950, that Roger Revelle cited as the golden age of oceanographic exploration, not only at Scripps, but at Woods Hole, at Cambridge, and even at Lamont. On arrival here in 1953, being brought to develop marine seismology with Russ Rate, George became a shift time regular, his own man, and soon a widely recognized leader in that culture at a time of remote exploration, real adventure, and discovery. At Scripps, certainly in those years, nearly everyone, top to bottom, aspiring academics known as graduate students, and La Jolla staff had some discernible contact with or awareness of the fleet or its ancillary activities down at MARFAC. We research scientists knew the operators, knew most officers, and knew those operators, the winch operators. We knew them professionally and sometimes well, that is socially, and things about them we never should have. MARFAC observed, discussed, and rated us aboard and ashore. And one endorsement of someone could be that Horizon would go out with him more than once. One of your proudest boasts might be at night waiting, but they'd go out with me again and again and again. And that was something that, in George's case, was very, very true. George had no problem recruiting for his expeditions, and to his everlasting credit, George is among the very first of us to welcome women MPL technicians, females, as integral seagoing staff members and co-authors in his explosive-driven research involving outlandish deck contraptions. And some of you will know what that is. I took George to sea on Chabasco in the fall of 1954, his first such two-ship expedition, to make seismic refraction observations in a, by then, my own home ground, the Middle America Trench off Western Mexico and Central America. Thinking as a geologist, I selected the refraction sites, using both ships as a mapping tools to reveal possible tectonic processes. New boy George, seismologist, ran the shooting operation, selecting shot sizes, monitoring recording, and cosseting shooter engineer Max Silverman, somebody that Walter would know very well. It worked well. Those 1954 stations demonstrated, for the first in any trench, the key process later dubbed subduction. Our repeated collaboration at sea and ashore was fruitful. Our several expedition interludes, all still with Max's shooter, terminated very amicably with joint direction of two-ship Vermilion C, which was throughout the Gulf in 1959, and Monsoon on Argo with Melita, which is an awful little ship and very well named, along the Sunda Trench late in 1960. But these are pretty dry statements. Okay. Warm memories of George and of George with Betty come easily. I remember well the occasion in the fall of 1960, en route to the Northern Territories, Darwin, that I encountered Betty in the Sydney Airport Lounge. We flew on together, low, in a DC-4 to Mount Isa and on over the barren outback. George had been early on hand in Darwin's small airport, eagerly awaiting Betty. But, as it turned out, his face and his demeanor were memorable as she and I gaily disembarked, and we were happy at that point, in company down the steps. Ice in tropical October. Two's company indeed. Actually, in her ability to carry out such faraway reunions, Betty was rather an envy of the Scripps spouses. On SIO's downwind expedition at Christmas week in 1957, Bill Menard and Ed Goldberg brought Spencer F. Baird and Horizon into Valparaiso. George was aboard, but he was leaving there. And I came down to take the operation home via Lima and Easter Island. We all met for 2 days in Santiago, everyone staying in the Plaza Mayor, above the Plaza Mayor in Hotel Carrera, Santiago's best half a century ago. At breakfast the next morning, I happened to see the couple, and I asked Betty if she'd enjoyed the crashing 1 a.m. fireworks extravaganza on the plaza, which had, of course, banished all sleep. And Betty looked at me and said, "It was wonderful," she said, blushing, "and all for George and me." Yes.